Hello and welcome to another Full Force News Burst brought to you by GeneralsJoes.com with me as your host, Chris Truesburst McLeod, aka Diagnostic 80. Joining me today to discuss the recent Toys R Us GoFundMe news and some horrendously sad news that has just this second come in is Adam Truefoe Life Riches. So without further ado, let's get stuck into this news burst. In the last few seconds of starting this news burst recording, we have just found out that the founder of Toys R Us, Charles Lazarus, has died at the age of 94. Charles, who founded Toys R Us 70 years ago, died today, a week after the company announced it would be forced to shut down its US operations. Wow. Okay, so we'll start with this first. Adam, I mean, we'll get to the news that we wanted to do at the in a second. But first off, wow, Charles Lazarus. Do you think it's quite a fitting situation that the company dies and then very shortly afterwards the founder kind of goes with it?
I mean, I guess there's two ways of looking at this. Either it's like when it rains, it pours, or like they're due one amazing resurrection in a few days. What?
Yeah, and we will get to that in a second. I mean, this is quite shocking. Like, you would expect a 94-year-old person to pass away at some stage, of course.
Yeah, but the timing's a little.
The
apropos.
Timing is incredible. I mean, yeah. do you think he's, you know, in the kind of similar vein as Padme in the Revenge of the Sith? Do you think he passed away with a kind of a broken heart due to all of this Toys R Us stuff going on at the moment?
Name them. Jeffrey.
I should say it's quite sad still, isn't it? I mean, this is awful.
It is sad, but lest we forget, he was 94. I mean, and he had a good run.
He had a good innings, as they say.
Yeah, and he, you know, he did cash out of Toys R Us in 1994, I believe. So, I mean, he left when the getting was good.
Yeah, well, the getting was very good.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know. While I'm happy to eulogize my boy Charles and everything, let's not act like this is that horrible.
I mean, it's mental, though. I mean, what a crazy bit of timing. I mean, that other than maybe after, you know, say this, the next news segment that we'll talk about in a second, if that doesn't do anything to kind of help Toys R Us, I mean, the only other, like, worst timing that you could have had with this is if he died on the day that it shut its doors, like it actually shut down for good. I mean, it's just crazy to me. This is like the weirdest thing. And considering when we started, literally when I called you on Skype, you sent the message almost as soon as you answered the phone. So it's like, I mean, that's just the craziest thing ever. Well, anyway.
Well, I'll say this, at least to end it on a positive note, he did live long enough to see his company still, we'll say, prosperous,
yeah, it was still
70 years later. So
technically the company was still alive when he passed away. Just, I mean, it's on life support at the moment, which we will get to now. With the impending closure of all US operations, it appears as though there has been a lifeline thrown at the company. Probably. Isaac Larian of MGA Entertainment has started a GoFundMe in the hope to raise $1 billion. Insert soundbite here.
We hold the world ransom for $100 billion.
To save Toys R Us. Now, wow. This, again, like, what's going on today? I mean, we all expected today was going to be the day that the liquidation sale started. I know you went to a store and took a picture of yourself next to a sign, which I'm going to flash up. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
Which you sent to me saying, you know, liquidation's on, like, postponed, not going to be happening today, don't blame the staff kind of thing.
Yeah.
That came from a few sources. Yourself, I know George Greeno put a post out saying that his Toys R Us had done the same thing. I believe ours has in Colombia. So all of a sudden, the liquidation sales thing comes to a grinding halt, and it's... Do you think it's got something to do with... I mean, it's too coincidental that this doesn't have something to do with it. And then on the back of this, we get this incredible mental GoFundMe campaign out of nowhere that has already reached 200 million, although I feel that was maybe put in at the start by the company that are trying to raise 1
yeah,
billion.
Yeah, for sure.
What are your thoughts on this, Adam? I mean, take us through what the hell's going on with this.
Well, there's a whole lot to unravel here, so... I guess the first thing we'll start with is the liquidation sale postponement. I know that a lot of people are seeing that and thinking that we're saved and that there's been some kind of massive intervention, and I don't actually think that's what's happened.
No.
From what I've heard, I think one of the possible scenarios we're witnessing is that a lot of the vendors, knowing that Toys R Us will not be able to repay them the millions of dollars they're owed, have elected instead to have their product returned to them.
Right.
And if that's the case, then they've put a freeze on the sale because they either want what they're owed fully or they want the product back. So it might have something to do with that.
Right. So you're saying that in a sense the vendors are kind of in control here, are saying that, you know, we want our stuff back or we want money if the sale goes through.
That's what it looks like, maybe.
Yeah.
But this is such a tangled web.
A tangled web, and very, like, I mean, it changes. It seems to change every 5 minutes. There seems to be another article posted and another kind of, you know, everyone rushes towards it again. So, I mean, this is kind of insane. I mean, I personally don't see Toys R Us getting saved. I don't even see that GoFundMe campaign reaching 1 billion, in all honesty. I think in the time that it's been up, it's only still raised on what they've put in. It's still only raised about, let me just double check. I don't even think it's reached a million yet, has it, on its own?
Since the time that I became aware of it, which was about 4 hours ago, I think it's raised, I want to say, like $10,000.
Yeah, so I don't think I think people are reacting in a way of like, well, why again is the consumer bailing you out? And I know obviously when a consumer buys product, that is effectively what you're doing. You're supporting the business. Yep. If the consumer is now expected to not only buy the product from the stores, but also keep it afloat and get the debt out of the way, I realize that is one of those things that a lot of people just will not do. They'll make a stand and they'll be like, no, I'm not paying for, you know, Toys R Us to be saved or whatever. If this 1 billion was to be raised and this company MGA come in, MGA Entertainment, I'm guessing they're the ones that are going to be controlling, they'll buy Toys R Us as is. Is that what they're saying? Because if that is the case, have they waited this long just so Toys R Us is in a really bad state or in a state of which to kind of to pounce on a little bit better? Or could they have done this a long time before, when this kind of the issue started arising, and kind of saved it before all of this kind of mess happened? I mean, what do you think the mindset is behind MGM Entertainment doing it now?
Well, just to preface this so I don't sound horribly ignorant, I am definitely not an accountant. So I
Adam Riches, accountant, attorney at law, and
despite
artist.
My last name. It's my understanding that Toys R Us is saddled with a tremendous amount of debt. I've heard figures around the $5 billion range.
Yeah.
And they're currently going through the process of bankruptcy, which means that they are not going to be able to pay back all of these various creditors that they're in debt to. And so a lot of their assets are going to, I guess, at that point, probably go up to auction, become government property, get clearance out, whatever happens. It's my understanding that Isaac Larian and these various investors that he's compiled to try and go in and buy the company are thinking that they're going to buy it free of that debt.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, I would think the entire transaction is predicated on that, because with the debt, they would need to be raising a whole lot more than $1 billion.
Yeah, agreed.
The part that's fascinating to me is that this is so presumptuous, because as far as I understand, I don't even think that Toys R Us right now is legally in the position to sell the company without the buyer of the company incurring all the debt that they currently have.
Yeah.
So the whole thing is a little perplexing to me. I'm not even really sure exactly what the goal is here.
I mean, you'd hope that the CEO of a big company like MGA Entertainment would have at least done some sort of legal background on whether this was a possible thing or not. So, or I think there's a lot of stuff that obviously we're not privy to, and that's where the problems arise from, with the confusion with the public not really knowing what's going on. And you know, like, why do we need to know a lot of the time? You know, like, maybe the employees at Toys R Us are probably the ones that really need to be kept abreast of the situation. I mean, in terms of our kind of, you know, understanding of the situation going on, the things are changing constantly. I would imagine that, you know, the actual idea behind what's actually happening with Toys R Us has changed today about 6 or 7 times. Like, I imagine, like, you know, in meetings and in, you know, conference calls and all sorts of people that are involved in the company and its bankruptcy and all that kind of stuff. I'm sure all of this stuff is going on like 24/7, or you hope it is, but I just can't see, like you, I can't see where the basis is for this guy's intervention. And also, I was kind of confused as to whether he was raising the money so that Toys R Us could be saved, or until I, you know, really got into the GoFundMe campaign, it's really so that they can buy it, and it's then MGM Entertainment's, but they keep the brand name out there and they kind of keep it afloat and so on and so forth. I've also heard stories about Mattel not being into this because they have issues with MGA Entertainment and Charles Larian, I believe.
I do know that Mattel had been in a long-standing legal situation with him because of the creation of Bratz dolls, and yeah, and they're claiming them as their property for having been partially created on their technology or whatever. So
there could be, if that goes forward, you think Mattel might maybe boycott, you know, say, or okay, let's give you a hypothetical. If this goes through, they get $1 billion, highly unlikely, but if they do raise that money, they are legally allowed to buy the brand at this stage or whenever it is that they actually raise that money. They take over, and could you see Mattel saying, we're not having any of your products in your store? Or do you think that'd be a bad move on Mattel's part?
No, I mean, I think they'd find a way to make it work, because ultimately business is business. I mean, I think that the one thing everyone can probably agree on throughout all the stuff that's happened recently is nobody wants to see Toys R Us go under.
Yeah.
I heard that part of the reason MGA is so invested in wanting to try and obtain this company is because one out of every 5 of their sales goes through a Toys R Us.
Yeah.
And, you know, for a company, that's an enormous amount of your sales.
That's a big amount. Yeah.
They can't afford to lose them. And I'm sure that, you know, while they probably make up a smaller percentage of Mattel's overall sales, I'm sure that Mattel still would be quite keen on wanting them to stay in business. So
yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, a crazy, crazy afternoon so far with all sorts going on. Rest in peace, Charles Lazarus, of course, the founder of Toys R Us, died today at the tender age of 94. I suppose he doesn't get to see this pan out, which is a bit of a shame, because if they can get saved thanks to this MGA Entertainment crazy $1 billion raise GoFundMe campaign, then brilliant. But I can't really see it happening.
I do think there is something funny to point out here, though. I just have to give myself a little Nostradamus shout out, because I had made a tweet several weeks ago now when all of the Toys R Us, you know, madness was starting, that basically said that I didn't think this was going to be the end for Toys R Us.
Nice.
And that while I didn't think it would carry on in the you know, the way that it had been, I did think that they would find some way to continue to exist. And CNN actually ran a news piece about Toys R Us titled "Why You Might Not Hear the Toys R Us Jingle Anymore," and they actually included my tweet in this news piece.
Brilliant.
But then a day later, as the tides kept shifting, they edited the video to say why you won't hear the Toys R Us jingle anymore, as if it had now become definitive that they were, you know, the nail was in the heart.
Yeah.
And they removed my tweet from it. And I just want to say, in your face, CNN, because clearly I wouldn't say Jeffrey's breathed his last breath just yet. I do think that if you look over the GoFundMe page, which is located at SaveToysRUs.com, this is not an endorsement, however, in case they take all your money. you will see that they have backing options for as high as $10 million or more dollars. So, it crazier things have happened. Say that.
That's very, very true. And yeah, well, I kind of hope in a weird way that we actually get something out of this, that we get a different Toys R Us, obviously, in the future, but at least, like, I kind of at least want the brand out there some way or somehow. If it means minimizing the amount of stores, which, you know, I think that would happen if a company did actually take it over. I still imagine that once the liquidation stuff happens, I still imagine Amazon to come in, and because there was talk of Amazon, you know, utilizing some of the store locations for their own uses, you know, maybe that could be a way to kind of, I don't know, bring it back somehow. We also heard about KB Toys wanting to come back into thing, you know, wanting to come back. And that was a big news story a week ago. On top of that, I could see a few names popping up again, you know, trying out to fill, trying to fill what is going to be a gap. As much like, yes, they're in a lot of debt. Yes, people were buying more from, you know, online and whatever. But does that mean there wasn't a market for it? I think there's still a market for brick and mortar toy sales. So, you know, whether Target and Walmart take that over, or whether all these new places kind of pop up again, or these older places pop up again, you know, whatever the case, I really just hope there is something after all of this horrendous news that we've had.
After going today to this, I went to the same Toys R Us 2 days in a row, because I was under the assumption that today was going to be the beginning of the liquidation.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether it was fueled by rumors of that or nostalgia or sadness or whatever the case. I was actually shocked to see, because I took a lot of photos yesterday, that there was a tremendous amount of product that had shifted in only 24 hours.
Yeah,
I mean,
a
lot of, and I think that told, and this is with no liquidation sale, by the way, nothing lowered in price during those 24 hours. And I think the takeaway for that from me is that, you know, I guess call this, you know, disaster marketing or whatever you want to call it, but somehow the word got out and it encouraged people to make the sales. So there is a way to sell toys. There is a buying audience for them. People do want them, and if they can figure out how to advertise in a way other than the world is ending, there is still a market for the product. So
well, the panic has always been an excellent way to get people to buy stuff. And also I also want to add to that I've been to our Toys R Us locally for the last, you know, I don't know, two or three times a week for the last f-ing year. So I want to know where all those people were that I've been seeing in the last few weeks, like filling that store day in, day out, literally tearing everything up. Like, where the f*** were you? Mother
bandwagon.
Now I understand that, yeah, you're going to generate a lot of people wanting to come in and buy stuff if you're going to drop prices, sell stuff at, like, you know, ridiculous amounts, but it just seemed to be a lot of vultures there just flying in for the sake of it, and that upset me. So you know, like, by at the end of all of this, a few lessons are to be learned, that, you know, pricing is important here. If you're trying to make like a massive profit at the end of it, you're going to have to think about, you know, making, you know, selling more at a cheaper price. That's just how it is, I think. And also, this has come up quite a few times. People do complain about the availability of certain items. And, you know, obviously, some of the main Toys R Us store locations do get the kind of prime new stuff, and a lot of the others don't. And, it, you know, you could be driving 6 hours before you find a Toys R Us that has stuff that's new. So obviously distribution is a massive part of this too. That's been overlooked a little bit recently. A lot of people go moaning immediately to lots of other things, but distribution's massive here. And I think if they can obviously nail that, nail the marketing. I don't really see that much in the way of marketing from Toys R Us anyway. I haven't in the last 4 or 5 years. And I'll watch the occasional TV channel, that, you know, like the kids' TV channel for like certain cartoons and stuff like that, because I am, you know, an 8-year-old inside a 30, I don't, how old am I now? 37-year-old. Am I 37? F***ing hell. Okay. So yeah, I should probably stop doing that. But yeah, anyway, what do you guys think? We want you to interact more with this show, obviously. If you have, you know, any kind of, if you have any inside info, we'd like to know about it. But if you have any kind of things to add to what we've been talking about, you know, hit us up wherever you can, on any of the Facebook page, the Twitter page, even the YouTube channel where this video will go up, and the Facebook page where this video will also be embedded.
Speaking of interacting with us, time to put in the plug. Myself and Chris have started a new Facebook page. It is called the Toys R Us Photo Archive, or you can find it at facebook.com/Toys R Us Archive. And basically the goal of this page is just to get other Toys R Us fanatics from all over the world to go to your local store while you still have one and take as many photos as you can and send them to us. And we're organizing them in photo albums by country, state, city. And it's really awesome. You'll get to see that despite there being literally hundreds of stores, no tour alike. So it's really cool to get to kind of shuffle through all the different locales that you may never get to see, and see how there's architectural differences and even product differences in some case.
We also want to have you guys send us any retro pictures of the particular Toys R Us locations as well. If you have any pictures of like the aisles or, you know, anything like that, we'd like to see too. Obviously, we don't want to kind of like go too crazy with you know, or anything related to Toys R Us, but, you know, specifically the actual locations themselves. Yep. That's something we really want to kind of be able to start putting together and archiving, because I realized that I don't take that many, or I haven't taken that many of previous Toys R Us locations back in 80s, 90s, early 2000s. So that's something I would really like to see. Big shout out to, was it Benson Yee that uploaded the, multiple people have been, but I think Benson uploaded some of the New York, the Manhattan Times Square Toys R Us as well. And I just realized that I've been there like 5 or 6 times and I haven't, like, all the pictures I have, I think are like, you know, lost, or they're on like a crap phone somewhere. So I'm really happy that someone got a lot of pictures of that stuff.
And my shout out would have to go to Glenn Winkler for uploading the photos from the Montgomery, Alabama store, which has not changed one iota since like the mid 80s. So if you want a trip down memory lane, go check out those photos, because they are so cool. It's the greatest.
Yeah. So that's it for this installment of the Full Force News Burst. Thank you to my awesome co-host, Adam Riches. See you next time. And as always, Full Force. Make sure you get involved with the discussion by liking, sharing and commenting on these videos. And as always, you can keep up with the show after listening by following on Twitter at The Full Force, liking the Facebook page, facebook.com/TheFullForce. And if you would like to contact the show, you can message us on either of these platforms with feedback, questions or to say, who do you think you are? A serious operation now? No, not even close. Look out for more of these news bursts that we are posting on the Facebook page from now on. Full Force.